know, this coming Friday is a big day for a whole lot of people who are just fed up to the teeth with wearing the bloody masks. Now, particularly people in, well, hospitality, and it's been a nightmare for them because people can't lip read and they're always saying, what'd you say? And then it's muffled and, oh, it's just awful. And then it's so hot and clammy and you're re-breathing the carbon dioxide. It's just horrible. And we've all had to endure it in supermarkets and shops and all sorts of places. But anyway, Friday is Freedom Day from the bloody masks. Now, there's other developments too, like this one. I want to share this one with you. It's in the Saturday Cairns Post, the protein-based vaccine Novavax that many waited for has finally hit the shelves in Cairns. And after a week, pharmacists are already seeing people come through. Pharmacy Guild Australia National President Trent Toomey said, because the COVID vaccination rate across Cairns has been so high... I think we're 92, aren't we? So high, there would be only a couple of thousand Far North Queenslanders waiting for the opportunity. Now, Trent said, with Omicron in the community, it was heartening that pharmacies could offer this vaccine. Novavax has not been approved for boosters yet, but can be administered to those who need a primary dose. Look, if you don't understand that, and it's getting confusing for me too as I read it, it doesn't matter because Trent's on the line. He's somewhere. There he is. He's the local pharmacist, most importantly, but he's the National President of Pharmacy Guild of Australia, Trent Toomey. Hello, Trent.
Morning, John.
Is this important news or fundamentally because we all feel we're smarties because we've had our 2-plus booster, we're tuning out to it? Tell me the importance of Novavax.
Oh, well, Omicron is moving freely around the community. I mean, my family and I, we've had it now, so we've gone through it, and my wife and I are triple-dose vaxxed. The kids are double-dose vaxxed. But, you know, Cairns are doing pretty well. Our local government area, 95% of those that are eligible for a vaccine have had at least one shot, and as you just said, about 92% of us have had our two shots or more. So, but it just means the remaining 5%, they're not necessarily anti-vaxxers, right? They're not. They're a large proportion of that final 5% are people that are hesitant, and for whatever reason, you know, and we're all entitled to have our own opinion. They decided they didn't want to avail themselves of the opportunity to have either the Pfizer or Moderna or the AstraZeneca vaccine, and they wanted this one, and now it's available and you can get it from your local pharmacy. You need two shots 3 weeks apart and then you're covered. So it's just a good thing for those people that have been hesitant for whatever personal reason that they can now avail themselves of this opportunity.
Oh, start from scratch and then only wait 3 weeks. Get your second one. And in the old term, you were considered fully vaccinated at two. Is it considered fully vaccinated at two now, or have you got to get the booster?
So those of us that had our two shots you know, last calendar year, we had to get a third shot, a booster shot, to be able to be considered vaccinated. And you've got 6 months to get that. You're eligible after 3 months, but you've got 6 months to get your third one. Now, you know, there's a lot of talk about, do you need a fourth dose? Do you need a fifth dose? Like, when's this bloody thing end? Like with the masks, which I think is a fair and reasonable question, right? And where we're going to get to, as you and I have been talking about for many months, if not a couple of years now, is you're probably going to need one every year, right? So I think we need to put out of our mind whether it's one shot or two shots or three shots. And we just need to now look at the fact that you need your primary dose schedule, which gets you covered, and then you'll need to get a periodic booster, which is probably going to be annually. Now, when they start that annual clock, whether they start it this flu season or next flu season, whether they start it next calendar year or this calendar year, is the bit that's open for debate, right? Because that's the bit the TGA is deliberating on based on data. But we all know that whether it's a coronavirus or an influenza or the common cold, that the winter months are the worst. Right? So we're all going to need to make sure we've got the most amount of protection over the winter months. So I wouldn't be surprised, to be honest, if they start saying, listen, your first annual shot is going to be needed sometime between now and July, and you'll have an annual shot thereafter. So I think we just have to stop thinking about whether it's one or two or three doses. It's just, when do we need our annual shot and when will that annual shot start?
Let's talk about these people who have been hesitant, as you put it. Why would Novavax coming on the scene get them over the line? Is it better than its predecessors?
Oh, it's not better. It's different. It uses different technology. So I'll try and explain it simply. You've all seen the little cartoons or the graphics of the round coronavirus with all the spikes coming off it, right? So those spikes are called spike proteins. And they're the things that our cells that form up our immune system need to have exposure to be able to produce an immune response to protect the body. Now, there are different ways that we can get those spike proteins into those cells to produce the immune response. The first one's the AstraZeneca, which is what's called an adenovirus vector vaccine. That takes an inert part of the actual coronavirus vaccine and delivers it to the body, and then the body produces the response. So that's pretty much how a traditional vaccine works. The next generation vaccines, the mRNA vaccines, or the Pfizer or the Moderna, send these messenger RNAs into the cells and tell the cells to produce the spike proteins. And then once the cells produce the spike proteins, the body then produces the immune response. What this latest one does is it just gives the spike protein, right? So the little pointy bits around that circle are just delivered to the body through the vaccine. They're completely harmless. But what it does is it's just another way of getting your body to produce that immune response, so you have immunity. And a lot of people were just happy, for whatever personal reason, to not get one of the first two technologies and get this one, and that's entirely their choice.
Now, this is unfair to ask you, but I will anyway. On Friday, we're going to celebrate No More Masks, which is just wonderful news. It's party time Friday. I talk to people in hospitality and they can't wait. They're counting down the minutes. They're organising parties with champagne. I don't know how they're going to do it and work in the restaurant, but they are. Let's just talk about that. That's wonderful. But what about the anti-vaxxers, the anti-vax mandate? I had a gentleman come to me and say, look, I'm just a normal part of this community. I go to work all the time. I've got a business to run and everything else, but I just believe I'm an anti-vaxxer, and what about me? When am I going to get some relief? Can I go into a restaurant, et cetera? What news do you have on that, if any?
So what we need to look at is the emergency provisions that the states and territories, and we're in Queensland, so let's talk about Queensland. The Queensland government has an emergency provision that they've put in place that gives the government the power to make these things. And these things, these rules, are whether it's on masks or whether it's on gatherings, whether it's on schools, whether it's on nursing homes or whether it's on vaccines. These powers are due to expire at the end of next month. So what we're all waiting to see is whether or not they extend it again. If they don't extend these emergency powers again, they won't have the legal authority to force us to do these things. Okay. So yes, we're seeing the relaxing of these things like masks, which is great, and I can't wait for that either as well. But let's just see what happens with these emergency underlying powers, because there's been no talk, and I don't know is the honest answer, but there's been no talk of them extending them, and wouldn't that be a great thing?
When could that happen, if you had to have a guess?
Well, the current ones are due to expire on the 31st of March.
31st March.
And what we don't know, which is what, 4 weeks? So, or 4 and a bit weeks. And what we don't know is whether they're going to extend those or not. And you know, I mean, it's all going to be based on data and science. But at the moment, my personal opinion is there would be no reason to extend them. But, you know, a lot can happen in the next 4 weeks.
There you go. If it comes true, you'll be the hero of the anti-vaxxers as well.
Well, I don't want to be the hero of anyone. I just want to get us through this bloody 2 years. Hasn't it been shocking?
Oh,
and
yet.
You know, the mask thing is, as much as it is a pain for media, you know who I feel for, John? Yeah. The young kids, right? Because a lot of development is facial expressions. And a lot of young kids haven't been able to see people's faces when they go out to do things. And I just can't wait to have this stuff removed.
Isn't that an interesting point? Very, very well said. Good on you, Trent. Thanks for the update.
Cheers, John. Take care, mate.
A lot of information there. That's Trent Toomey, local pharmacist and national president, Pharmacy Guild of Australia.